thank Hannah
for that verse and Nathaniel for leading it. I suppose we're nearly keeping it in the family a bit this morning. But it's good to see all the young folk, and we trust the Lord will bless them as they share in the meeting and take part and minister today. Now we're going to turn just in God's Word this morning to the book of Numbers, to the Old Testament, to Numbers chapter 17, the 17th chapter of the book of Numbers. And just with this chapter open before us, maybe we could just unite together in a brief word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help today as we consider His Word together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy presence, Lord, this morning, and we just thank Thee for Thy presence with us already today in our service. We thank Thee for the ministry of our youth with us today, and we pray for them that Thou would bless them, that each one of them would know what it is to be guided in the life of God, in the way of God, that Thou would have for them. We pray, Lord, that Thou would indeed, even as our sisters read, show each one of them the path of life, and that each one of them would know the Lord as their Savior and follow on to serve Him in their day and generation. We just pray now that Thou would bless us as we turn to Thy Word. We thank Thee for the Scriptures of truth today. We pray for the outpouring of Thy Spirit upon preacher, upon congregation alike. We pray that Thou would bless Thy Word with power to every heart, that Thou would use it, O God, this day to the convicting of sinners, to the awakening of sinners to the great need of Christ, even to draw sinners savingly and believingly to Christ the Savior. Use it, O God, to the edifying of the saints of the Lord. And use it, O God, to the glorifying of Christ. Lord, abide with us to this end. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon us. Grant us a blessed time around Thy Word. For we do pray and we do ask it all in the Savior's great name. Amen and amen. Now, there's just one verse I want to read to you this morning, and it's found in Numbers chapter 17, and it is the verse number 8. Let me just read that verse 8 with you of Numbers chapter 17, really our text for today. It says, "And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds." Amen. We know the Lord will bless the short reading of His Word to our hearts. Now, the background here to our text this morning was a time of rebellion in the camp of Israel. Back in Numbers chapter 16, there you read of those who rejected Aaron as God's servant and as the chosen high priest that God had chosen to minister to the congregation of Israel. Now those who rebelled were judged by God. We read of some who were struck down by fire. Others were swallowed up alive by a great earthquake, the Bible says, down into the pit. This judgment had led also to murmuring among the congregation of Israel. And over 14,000 were swept away with a severe plague. And that plague was only stayed and stopped by Aaron's praying and intercession on behalf of the people. Now, although the congregation of Israel were shaken, many still were unconvinced that Aaron was God's chosen high priest for them and for the nation. And in mercy, God proposed to give them a sign which would settle the matter once and for all. My God commanded the head of every tribe of the nation of Israel to take a rod, and the name of that tribe was to be inscribed upon the rod. And then the rod, one representing each tribe of Israel, were to be set before the ark of the Lord in the tabernacle of worship. And then God would cause the rod to blossom of the tribe whose head He had chosen to be the high priest. And verse 8, our text this morning, tells us that Aaron's rod, it budded, it blossomed,
it bore fruit. Thus God made it very clear to the congregation of Israel that Aaron was God's chosen servant. Look at that verse 8 again. It says, "And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds." And there the people were left without any shadow of a doubt that Aaron was God's chosen high priest to minister to the people. Now in Aaron's rod here that budded and blossomed and bore fruit, we have a wonderful portrait of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's very interesting to note, and over in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, Christ there is called a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And this portrait before us in Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed and bore fruit, it tells us much about the person of Christ. Not only does it tell it much about the person of Christ, it tells us much about the very work of Christ. Today is Easter Sunday morning. This time of the year, the Church of Christ thinks much upon the death of Christ. Not only the death of Christ, but the great resurrection of Christ. The fact that Christ has risen again from the dead. Therefore, it's all important that we look, I believe, at this wonderful portrait of Christ from the rod of Aaron this morning and see what it would teach us personally and collectively as a congregation regarding the person and the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, may our consideration of this portrait be to the encouragement of every one of us who are saved this morning in our witness for Christ and in our work for God. May it also be to the challenge of you who are yet in your sins unsaved in this meeting to point you to Christ, the Lamb of God, the only Savior for sinners. First of all, I want you to see here this morning that Aaron's rod reminds us of the calling of Christ. Yes, Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed and bore fruit was a testimony to Israel that God had chosen Aaron to be their high priest. Look at the beginning of verse 5 of the chapter. Notice what is said there. "And it shall come to pass," here God is speaking, "and it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom." And when Aaron's rod blossomed, it was a sign to the people that God had called Aaron, that God had chosen Aaron. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's great high priest for his people. Read over in the book of Hebrews, it says of Christ, "We have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. And as our great high priest, he has been chosen by God. He has been called by God to be the Savior of sinners." Apostle Paul made that truth abundantly clear when he wrote his first letter to Timothy. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Again, Peter made that truth clear when he preached to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. He spoke to them of Jesus Christ and he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Even Christ himself made that truth clear when he saved and converted Zacchaeus. For he said of himself, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Oh, think of the words of the hymn writer this morning as he speaks to us of Christ. He says, "Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior." Oh, friend, please realize this morning that there is no salvation from sin in yourself. There's no salvation from sin in man or anything that man can ever do or hope to do or hope to be. There is no salvation in your church, this church, or any other church. There is no salvation in your money or your giving to charity or to God's work. There is no salvation in your education or in the philosophies or religions of men. No. The only person who can save you from your sin is Christ alone. And what Jesus said to the disciples, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, Christ is the only one whom God has called and God has chosen to save you and I from our sins. But then secondly, this morning, as we think further of this rod of Aaron, we can say in the second place that Aaron's rod also reminds us of the very life of Christ. You see, when you think of Aaron's rod here in the chapter, you will see that it was a common rod. Like all the other rods that represented the individual tribes of the children of Israel. Look at verse 2 of the chapter. It says there, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. This rod was of no special significance in itself. It was of no special appearance. It was a common appearance. They all were alike. They all were the same. This common rod here of Aaron, my, it reminds us of the earthly life of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ's earthly life, his appearance was common, like others. Apart from his sinless nature, the Lord Jesus Christ lived here on earth. Like the rest of mankind, you read through his life and the Gospels and the Bible tells you how he knew what it was to sorrow. He knew what it was to shed tears. He knew what it was to be weary. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be poor. The Bible speaks of Christ over in the New Testament in the book of Philippians and it says, but he made himself, listen, of no reputation. And took upon himself the form of a servant, and it says, and was made in the likeness of men. And by his identification with the common man on earth, Christ is one who is able to sympathize with his people in all of their trials of life. Turn with me over to the New Testament, please, to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want you to see here what the book of Hebrews has to say to us about the sympathizing Savior at the end of Hebrews chapter 2 and also the end of Hebrews chapter 4. And look with me what you read of Christ in Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse number 18. It says, for in that he himself hath suffered, notice he suffered here on earth, being tempted or tried, notice what it says, he is able to succor them that are tempted or tried. Look again what we read of Christ in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There the writer to the Hebrews speaks to you and I of the sympathizing Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was made in the likeness of men. He is the one who can sympathize with you and I in all of our trials and all of our ups and downs of life, whatever those trials might be. Old J.C. Ryle said this, Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God mighty to save, but he is the Son of Man who is mighty and able to feel our needs and our sympathies. Oh, child of God, realize this morning as Christ traversed the scene of time, he is able to sympathize with you, whoever you are, dear Christian, in this meeting this morning, and all of your trials and all of your cares and all of your concerns of life. Yes, this rod reminds us of the calling of Christ. It reminds us of the life of Christ. But thirdly, this morning, I want you to see something else here, that Aaron's rod, in the third place, reminds us of Christ's death upon the cross. You see, Aaron's rod was dead. Why? It was severed from a tree. It was cut off from another branch in the tree. Also in the tabernacle, we read how it was led up with these other dead rods, these other rods that had died. Look at verses 6 and 7 of Numbers chapter 17. Notice what is said there. It says, "And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince, one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among the rods. And Moses led up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness." The severing here of this rod for Aaron, it reminds us, what of Christ's death. It reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ being cut off for sin upon the cross. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says, "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Yes, the rod cut off, severed, reminds you and I of the death, the awful, cruel suffering and ignominy and shame of Christ upon the cross. But also, as Aaron's rod was among other dead rods, does that not also show us a wonderful picture of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified between two others? Remember what Luke says about the crucifixion of Christ. He says this, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand, and the other on the left." Oh yes, by his death, by the shedding of his blood, what did Christ do? He purchased redemption. He purchased eternal salvation, pardon for sin, for all, whoever they are, who will repent of their sin, who will trust in Him alone as Savior and for salvation. Remember what Paul said, speaking of the death of Christ to the church at Ephesus? He said of Christ, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Someone has once said that the cross is the cost of my forgiveness. Many years ago in the city of Paris, a father died rescuing all his children from a fire that had engulfed their home. Well, Christ, by His death, what did He do? He purchased pardon for all who will trust Him as Savior. And friend unsaved in our meeting this morning, if you humble your heart before the Lord, if you repent of your sin and turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior, then God will forgive all your sins. He'll pardon all your iniquities. Remember the message of Paul to the people of Antioch as he spoke to them of Christ? He said, "Be it known unto you, men and brethren, this day is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." And there He was telling them that it was through Christ and Christ alone that all their sins could be forgiven. Friend, today it is through the severed branch of Christ. He who was cut off and was nailed to the cross of Calvary, whose side was riven, whose hands and feet were pierced, whose brow was pierced with cruel eastern thorns, whose back was made like a plowed field, might as from all those wounds from which His precious sinless blood flowed, through that blood alone that you can be saved and of all your sins forgiven and put away before God for all of eternity. Friend, unsaved, young person, older person, If you know not the forgiveness of your sins today, if you have not this assurance in your heart, oh, that today, by God's grace, you would look away from self, from every other invention of man's salvation. Look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who was cut off for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. But notice something else regarding this rod of Aaron this morning. Notice in the fourth place that Aaron's rod reminds us also of Christ's glorious resurrection. Look again at the words of our text in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 17. It says, and it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. That this dead rod was now budding. It was now blossoming. It was now bearing fruit. How did that come about? It came about by God's miraculous power, causing that dead rod to live again, to bloom, to blossom, to bud, and to bear fruit. It was all by the miraculous power of God. And likewise, by God's miraculous power, what happened to Christ on the third day? The Bible tells us He rose again from the dead. Remember the preaching of Peter in the days of Pentecost, speaking of Christ's death. He went on to say this, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden with it. Raised up by the mighty power of God. Remember the woman going early in the morning to the tomb. And they were greeted with an empty tomb. And the angel spoke to them. And what was the angel's message to them? He is not here, for He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He had risen from the dead. He was alive forevermore. What a Savior we have. By His resurrection it proves that God accepted the atoning work of Christ on the behalf of sinners. By it proves His power over sin and over death. By it guarantees eternal life for all who will trust and embrace Christ as their Savior. 1 Corinthians 15, that great chapter that deals all with the resurrection of Christ. Paul says there, if Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits, he says, of them that slept. And why is the head of His church, Christ's resurrection unto eternal life is the first of many more that are to follow. Why, the Bible tells us that whenever Christ returns again in His second coming, all the dead in Christ throughout the ages of time will be resurrected unto life eternal. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look with me at the words that Paul uses towards the end of this chapter, dealing with the resurrection of God's people at the return of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a note of victory Paul sounds there at the end of that great chapter. All because Christ Himself has risen from the dead as the first fruits of them who have slept. Oh, child of God, understand this morning, because Christ is risen. You as a believer in this congregation this morning can look forward also for you unto that glorious resurrection, for you unto eternal life. Why, when Christ comes again, your body, the Bible says, will be changed like unto Christ's glorious body. My, there'll be no more sin, no more mourning or grieving over sin. You'll have a perfect, sinless body, a body that is immortal, that is incorruptible. Never again will you grieve or mourn over sin. My, what a day that will be when Christ will return and God's people will rise, every one of them, from the graves, be it in the seas, be it in some distant part of the world uninhabited. God will raise His own, each one, unto life eternal. You know, it's very interesting to note, as you read through the Gospels and study the life of Christ, Jesus broke up every funeral that He ever came in contact with. You see, death could never abide in the presence of Christ. Remember Him as He meets with Jairus and his daughter. He raises His little daughter to life again. Remember Him as He meets the funeral of the son of the widow of Nain. He brings her son back to life. Remember Him again as He comes to that home in Bethany of Mary and Martha and is greeted with mourning and sorrow and tears at the death of Lazarus. Yet He called Lazarus forth alive from the grave. Oh, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Bible says that Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a Savior we have. What a gospel we have. How powerful is the gospel of Christ that will raise all God's people unto life eternal, to an eternal inheritance of heaven. The Lord comes again in power and in great glory. But notice fifthly this morning, as we move on with our message, that Aaron's rod also reminds us of Christ's ascension into glory after His death and resurrection. You see, Aaron's rod that budded here in Numbers chapter 17, we're told, was led up, it says, before the Lord in the tabernacle. Look at what you read there in verse 7 and then the beginning of verse 10. It says, and Moses led up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Verse 10 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony. What was the testimony there that is spoken of in that verse? It refers to the ark of the Lord in the worship of the Old Testament time in the tabernacle. And the ark of the Lord was a symbol of God's almighty holy presence among His people. But after the resurrection, what happened? Christ, the Bible tells us, He ascended up into heaven, into the holiest of all, into the immediate presence of God. The Gospel of Mark says this, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, that's His disciples, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And Christian, what is Christ doing presently in heaven for His people? He is praying for you and I and all His church. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for His people. Yes, in heaven He continually pleads the merit of His own blood on the behalf of all His people. The Bible says by His own blood He obtained eternal redemption for us. Christian, this means that you can never lose your salvation, that your salvation can never be taken from you. Why? Because Christ is continually, moment by moment, praying for you, pleading the virtue, the value of His own blood for you. It also means, dear child of God, that Christ will obtain and bestow upon you as a believer all the grace you need, all the power you need to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord. Young people, older people, God has a work for you to do. Maybe you feel insufficient in yourself, as we all are weak in and of ourselves. But child of God, realize this. Whatever God asks you to do, God will help you and equip you and enable you to do that work that He gives you. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and look with me just at verse number 32 of this great chapter. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. And look at what Paul says here to encourage God's people. He's making an argument here. In light of the fact that Christ has died, that He's risen, that He's in heaven praying for His people. Look at verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. He says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Child of God, every task that God gives you through Christ, He will give you sufficient grace, sufficient help. Freely, it says there, bestow upon you all things that you need, all the grace, all the help, all the power, all the enablement that you need to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord. But notice one final thing just from our text this morning. Aaron's rod in the sixth and final place, it reminds us of Christ's judgment. Look again at verse 10 of Numbers chapter 17. Notice very carefully what is said in the middle part of that verse. It says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony. Notice the next words. To be kept for a token against the rebels. Now, Aaron's rod was to be kept as a memorial of God's judgment upon all those who had rebelled against the Lord when He had chosen Aaron to be the high priest of the people. And surely, dear people, in this are we not also reminded, as we think of Christ today, the rod of, out of the stem of Jesse, and think of this rod as being a picture or type of Christ, are we not also here reminded of Christ's judgment upon all those who know Him not as Savior, upon all those who have rejected Christ as their own and personal Savior? When will that final judgment take place? When Christ returns. All who are unsaved, all who have rejected the Lord as their Savior, will be judged for their sins at the great white throne judgment, and will be cast down into the pit of hell itself for their sins. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 20, over to the last book of the Bible, and you read of that judgment there in verse number 12. At the end of Revelation chapter 20, notice what it says. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, that's the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, and that is every Christ rejecter, that is every man, woman, and young person unsaved who has turned their back upon the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, friend unsaved this morning, I must warn you, if you are unsaved, still in your sins when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, this is the judgment that you will face. The lake of fire and hell will be your eternal portion. What an awful end to reject Christ, to reject the gospel, to reject Him who is the rod of the stem of Jesse. The hymn writer asks you the question, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Pure and white in the blood of the Lamb, will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, if you are to be saved from God's judgment, then now in time you must repent of your sin. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Listen to the promise of Christ. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Oh, friend, unsaved, come and trust Christ today. Let nothing or no one hold you back. Jesus says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Then by God's grace and power, live for him. Wait for his coming again. And look forward to being with the Lord one day in heaven, which is far better. May the Lord bless his word today to every heart and soul.